You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
That's right! Two of the guys who never really won the game at all, unlike Erica, congratulations to the winner of Survivor 41. We're here to break it all down live right after the episode here with the Night Owl, Stephen Fishback.
Yeah, this is the latest I've been up in about 3 years. Yes, congratulations to Erica. I was very wrong about this. I really, really did not think she won, was going to win because of her edit. I thought she was largely invisible in the pre-merge. I did not think that the show would make the first female winner in 7 seasons. So invisible the pre-merge. Obviously, I was wrong about that. But she is the first female winner in 7 seasons. Hey, congratulations to Erica. Congratulations also to Sophie Clark, who told me like weeks and weeks ago, she said, I think it's going to be Erica. I think it was like right after Shane was voted out. And I was like, what are you talking about? There's no way.
I think that was
watching
before.
The same show I'm watching.
Yeah.
Before Shane was voted out. She was saying, I mean, she was saying it. Yeah. I think it was actually before she even went on your podcast. So even prior to that was when she first said it to me, like right that week. Yeah, I mean, what an incredible call. And I was like, you just think, you know, it's like she's the Sophie, she's the under-edited strategist. They don't edit the show like that anymore. Like, they would never portray someone that way. Like you got a terrible edit, and I'm sorry, but now the show has changed. No, it hasn't. First female winner in 7 seasons. That's big news. That's a big deal.
Huge news. Woman to win the game since Sarah Lucina in Survivor Game Changers, which was back in 2017. So it has been now 4.5 years since a woman has won the game. We did not think that this was a realistic possibility that this could happen. So congratulations to Erica for accomplishing what she did in a runaway 7-1.
Runaway. 7-1. And do we know who the one Deshaun?
You know what? I'm presuming it was Danny, but I think Nasir is not necessarily out of the question also.
I don't think it was Danny, because we heard Danny's confessional and he said something like, you know, you played a great game. It was
good. Let me look at the chat.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't think Danny was going to call Deshaun's game intentional. And then he had a great testimony to Erica during
the chat is all saying it's Danny.
Is that confirmed or is that just assumed because they were friends?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that so many people are saying it that I'm going to say it was confirmed.
Well, you know, that's where a lot of people
group
go
think.
Wrong. You know,
yes,
just because
sure.
A lot of people,
sure.
Everyone else is saying
a lot of people are saying, that it was Danny.
Yeah, that way went Nazi Germany, you know?
Yeah, Steven, just to go back to your earlier point about the edit. Yeah, I definitely think that there are some odd things about the edit of this season that I would love to talk about here. But I want to stay focused on Erica's winning game here to start off the show. We have so much to get to here tonight. Plus, tomorrow, we will speak with all of the final five. I have exit interviews lined up with everybody from Ricard through Erica from this finale that's going to be coming up on Thursday on Robinson Podcast. And then What incredible timing. You know, sometimes people say like, oh, you knew the spoilers. We have a amazing guest to talk about Erica's win. Michelle Fitzgerald will be joining us to
again, guest.
We had her booked earlier in the season. It didn't work out. We pushed her back and then we ultimately worked it out that she was going to come on after the finale. And so incredible time to talk to Michelle Fitzgerald about everything that happened in Survivor 41. And then we have a Survivor feedback show as well coming up on Friday. Liana Boris will join us for that. So get your feedback questions in for Survivor last Survivor 41 feedback show of the season, not to mention everything that's going on the wrap ups with all of the other Survivor podcasts. But Stephen, yeah, Erica does it. And it really went from sort of like, you know, could she do it to, by the end of that final tribal council, when they're getting ready to vote, it's like, boy, I think this is like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, it was people there respected her game so much. And, you know, I really do think that the signs were there. You know, Martin Holmes Redmond had a really great post where he kind of talked about Erica's all of the content, you know, the edit for Erica throughout the whole season and all the different, you know, parts throughout the season where she was presented as a threat and talked about as a threat. And everyone kind of, you know, and maybe we didn't get a lot from her and we didn't get a lot of her social relationships, but she always was perceived of as that threat. And she did a fantastic job, I thought, of articulating her journey and this thought of, hey, I came in here to play a certain way. Here's how I adapt to the circumstances. Then this part of the game happened. And, you know, she was talking about playing that under the radar. I thought she had one of the best ever articulations of the strategy behind a real under the radar game, which, you know, compared to Xander, who couldn't give one moment of social awareness, and Deshaun, who was talking about, you know, how he tried to keep everything like cool and happy, you know, she really stood out against those two guys.
Yeah, I think that this was her best episode of the season. I thought she also had an incredible tribal council performance. And I felt like that we got to see more of her personality in the final tribal council than we got to see really at any point earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, very like upbeat, you know, Canadians, they're so great, right? First Canadian winner, too.
First Canadian winner, yes, yes.
Yeah. You know, don't want to lose that story. So, it was just like positive, upbeat, but again, like really great at sort of articulating the story, like her own story and how, you know, the things she did, the relationship she made. Also very humble in a way that seemed very, that I think was really right for this jury. You know, when she talked about her relationship with Heather, she talked about how it was the two of them together. I mean, obviously that's something you can do from, you know, when Heather's not sitting right next to you. But, you know, she talked about how the two of them together would do things and she didn't need to, you know, get all the limelight. And the jury just had so much incredible respect for her. You know, it was interesting that Ricard said that they did not, you know, Ricard came and I wondered too, you know, the last jurors have a tremendous impact on how the jury as a whole thinks and votes. Mm-hmm. And if both Ricard and Heather were huge Erica fans and they come out of the game, you know, preaching the gospel of Erica, then it really could have made some meaningful impact on the rest of the game, or on the vote.
Yeah, it's really interesting when we saw Ricard talk about how, you know, he had this amazing relationship with Erica. And I'm like, I wish we could have seen that in the show, because that was like, I was completely floored that was the case. Like, I thought they were building up that Ricard and Xander had this relationship, but that apparently Ricard and Erica were very close. Obviously, we saw them talk and we saw them vote together, but I had no idea that they were like, you know, incredibly tight.
Yeah, I mean, we really did not see a lot of that at all. I mean, really the only, I mean, we saw, you know, Shan wanting to eliminate Erica. Yeah. We saw Deshaun wanting to eliminate Erica. The only real relationships I feel like we saw for Erica, certainly we had that Deshaun one that kind of played throughout the season, but also, I mean, it was Heather, and we didn't even really get a lot of that in the pre-merge, which I think, you know, the Survivor producers do an amazing job of telling an incredible mm-hmm. story. You know, we're riveted. We spend our lives talking about it. I think it was a major miss to not show the beginning and development of the Heather relationship, because, you know, in this episode, they're like, wow, the two of us, who would have imagined the two of us like mm-hmm. would become such an unlikely alliance. we never saw that alliance formed. You know, we never saw the beginning of the alliance. We never saw the development of that relationship. We just saw the end when they're celebrating it. Like, well, I'm not invested in this because I didn't really, I don't know anything about it.
Okay, let me ask you some tough questions. Erica's best move.
Well, I think it was honestly, I mean, obviously the time travel thing was stupid. That we're not gonna, that's not the best move. I think she had a series of smart decisions in the end game that where she kind of made little hedges, like, you know, choosing to vote out Danny over Deshaun. That's a good move, right? And it really felt like, as she was saying, like towards the end game, she was the one who was really steering those votes, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like moving her to some of her and Heather, you know, each way when there was like some marginal choice, you know, the Nasir vote out, right? Like they chose to vote out Nasir. All of those, I think, really ended up being,
Well, I would say number one, though, was on the Shan vote out where she, that she was able to set it up as the split vote and really, drive the wedge to get, Danny and Deshaun with splitting the votes against Liana. I think that was, in hindsight, that was a bad move for those guys. They had the shot. They said at the last second, hey, should we just put the votes on Erica? I think Erica is playing us. Should we just do that? They did not. She goes on to win. You really had reminded me about the, it seemed like that I would imagine, based on what we sort of have like supposed, that she called the shot on, hey, I'm going to keep Deshaun over Danny. We didn't get that in so many words, spelled out on the show. She talked about it tonight about how she kept it, but we didn't get into so much of the reasoning why. We just sort of like presume that it's a good question to talk about her with her either tomorrow or in a future interview. And you're right. The Nasir vote, I don't think necessarily was her call.
Yeah, because it was like
immunity. She had that. Immunity. Yeah.
Right. It's not a great example. Mm-hmm. But it did feel like she was, that they were there, and they were kind of operating on as swing votes for a lot of these crucial moves. they were there is not the best advertisement. But, I also think she was helped, she's not sitting next to Ricard. You know, what are Xander's big moves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what did Xander do that was so huge?
Steven, I don't know if you kept up with the exit press this past week. Did you happen to hear, I know you did, Danny's exit interview.
I listened to Danny's interview with you. Because I'm a huge Danny fan.
Yes, so you were texting me. You asked me when was it going to go up. And so Danny really, and it made a lot of people say like, oh, that totally changes my perception on things, that Danny was so down on Xander in terms of we did not look at him as a serious person. And I really I am not the edit reader that you are, but I felt like
I'm not the edit reader.
Xander, I felt like that all season long. Xander got a lot of like Xander first person confessional of, hey, I'm running things. Things are going exactly the way I want. The episode after the Shan vote, he talked about I engineered that move. I felt like that the show was going out of its way to give Xander credit, and even in this finale tonight, I felt like that Xander was running everything. And it's almost like that we found out like that Xander felt like, oh, I can beat Erica. I have this. I don't think you beat Erica, though. I know I can. That he felt like that the jury doesn't look at Erica as a serious threat. It was all right there that Xander was wrong about everything, Steven. You know what the clue was? He said Stu is good. All his takes are wrong.
The stew theory. Yes. That makes so much sense.
In all seriousness, that I feel like that Xander was edited so oddly, where I feel like that in the past, where, if somebody is wrong about things, and again, maybe this is like the drop the four, keep the one, that he was not edited with like the Dodo music or with anybody really telling us like, hey, I don't know what Xander is talking about. He basically like earnestly told us things about the game that were just wrong, and we had no sort of like second opinion on things.
Yeah. Well, I do think I was reading some threads on Reddit where people too were speculating that I do think there's a chance that they are changing the way the show's edited because they were so heavy handed, you know, in the past, you know, mm-hmm. Tommy obviously was a super obvious winner. I mean, there was, you know, it was much, you know, the fact that it's happening now, you know, really could be them reevaluating the whole way they edit the show. But yes, it did feel like Xander was getting a lot of those confessionals where he was like getting show credit for moves, which has mm-hmm. typically been the sign of a winner. And maybe he was always supposed to be a decoy winner, you know?
Well, either that, or I wonder if the show is thinking like, hey, long-term, like, we're in the Xander business, you know, like this guy's coming back four more times. And in fairness to Xander, he was very fun to have on the show. I feel like that a lot of like the lighter moments in the season came from Xander. You could tell in the reunion show how much they love the knowledge is power move. And so that I wonder if they looked at it. I mean, basically, like, you know, we've talked about, like, you know, over the years, you know, who's the next, you know, young survivor. Like, Survivor always has to have, like, their young it guy. I think a lot of those guys have graduated out of that we had previously. And we kind of need the guy. I wonder if Xander is the person who plays three times in the 40s.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I can see it. I mean, he did sort of feel like we are putting so much of our past expectations of Ozzy's and Malcolm's onto Xander, and like nobody else who was actually there was looking at him. You know, he wasn't the Ozzy or the Malcolm of the season, right? He was like the goat. He was not the guy you're afraid to bring to the end. He's the guy that you were happy to drag to the end. So, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, the show has evolved, you know, the culture's evolved. And you know, maybe this is like a farewell to the Xander archetype, but, I mean, probably not farewell to the Xander archetype. We all know that Survivor Facebook loves Xander.
So Xander, it was, you know, at the heart of a couple of decisions, tonight. First at the final five, so Erica wins immunity. She's safe. It looks like it's going to be, Ricard or Deshaun. Everybody sort of comes to their senses. Okay. Enough is enough. We got to take out Ricard. He's the biggest threat. Xander really goes through the motions of, I am going to play my idol on Ricard, which would have been a terrible move, a horrible decision. What happened there? Is Xander sort of just like throwing the production a bone of like, oh, at least like, let me give them some intrigue for this tribal council? Was he really considering it and then sort of smartened up? Because we didn't really ever get the explanation from him why he didn't do it. And if he wasn't going to do it, why tell Ricard he was going to do it?
Yeah, that seemed like telling Ricard seemed like a mistake. I mean, it seemed like he was genuinely moved in the moment. He like wanted to explore the possibility. I bet he told Ricard beforehand, like, hey, I'm not playing my idol for you. I think that would be weird if he didn't tell him. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if he didn't tell him that. But yeah, and it probably was too. Like, you know, the production is always saying, you know, we know what you're going to do, but can you just give us the soundbite of like, maybe I'll do this, maybe I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you play along, you're like, yeah, I can see a reason why I would give the idol to Ricard.
But he told Ricard, yeah.
But he told Ricard in the moment, right? He told Ricard, like, Ricard, like, revealed this story about his son, which I thought was a little, like, too soon. I mean, but actually, I mean, it worked. It worked. I thought it was like, you know, you want to hold this. You want to, like, wait till Final Tribal for the son story.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, a great question to ask Ricard if it was just, like, okay, a genuine, like, you know, emotional, like, I'm just going to let that go. Or was this sort of, like, Ricard sort of just saw the writing on the wall, and was this, like, a, you know, a Hail Mary to sort of save himself, knowing that this is, okay, the last chip that I have to potentially play. And so, you know, it seemed like it really got a emotional reaction from Xander. But then, and Ricard, I thought, played it so well. He's like, oh, they would lose their minds if you did that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You should see the look on their faces if you flip the game.
But it actually seemed like Xander needed to Underwood. And by that, I mean, like, needed to, like, pull out all the stops, do the big flashy things.
The next thing that I want to talk about.
Well, right, with the fire making, but in this too, like, he comes, basically arrives at the game at the final five, right? He's done very little since the whole knowledge is power thing, you know, you know, he's just sort of like coasted from vote to vote. He gets, you know, partial credit for the sham blind side. And now he, you know, has this opportunity to make some of these big moves, but maybe didn't have the self-awareness that Chris Underwood did, that, hey, I need to like be as flashy as I possibly can be because I'm coming in, you know, I mean, Xander wasn't literally outside the game, but yeah, I think like, you know, let's say he had played his idol for Ricard and then beaten Ricard in fire making, you know, like that would have been a power move. Now that would have been maybe insane.
But that would have been insane, but at least I'm making moves.
Yeah. Well, I think honestly, like there might've been a little bit of like, who is this guy? Like, well, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I do think we need to talk about his obvious mistake in the fire making challenge of everyone is telling him Erica is the number one threat. It's not clear to me if he actually thought that Erica was not a threat or was telling the jury he didn't think she was a threat because he was trying to undermine her threat level, or he like truly maybe he thought that she was a threat but the jury he thought the jury didn't. Like, I don't know where, I mean, where do you think Xander was when he's going into that fire making decision? Like, does he think that Erica is a threat to beat him?
You know, it's so confusing because then he tried to build up Heather also. And it's like, I don't know what's real and what's sort of like, hey, I can't let the jury think that I think that Heather would be an easy person to beat. So I got to talk up Heather that she's like a legitimate person I'm worried about. So she's got to go in with Deshaun. And then if I take Erica, that sort of weakens her. So then I won't be as worried about Erica. I don't want to give her the opportunity to show off in front of the jury by making the fire. So if I bring her, then that'll sort of like make her seem weaker and smaller. And so, you know, I'll seem better. But I don't understand how you could watch the last couple of seasons and have that sort of like understanding of how this was all going to work. I had a great conversation with Dom Abate over the weekend about this on the podcast.
Who has big regrets about this, right? I mean, I didn't listen to your conversation.
Yes. And we sort of like established don't you have to make the fire now? If you make should you be throwing the final four immunity? Because don't you have to go make the fire? And I said, like, I didn't think that Ricard had to make the fire. If Ricard wins immunity, I think if you're if you're up, I don't think you necessarily have to make the fire. But if you are not, the top dog going into the final three, I think you do have to make the fire because basically you're going to come in like second. Look at Xander. He comes in third place anyway, so like, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal to lose in fourth place hypothetically if he couldn't make the fire. And you would presume that Xander's probably a pretty good fire maker. Probably.
Well, we saw him next to Erica making fire. You know, Erica's like hacking away at the machete, at the flint, and Xander like conjures it in seconds.
It seemed like such a no-brainer for him. Even like then to say like, I'm going to make the fire against Heather. You know, just like going like if you can do it, like go do it. Even if you don't.
But the problem is like, you don't know what's, I mean, like the wind conditions. I mean, look what happened to Heather, right? She was in a spot where they looked like there was had to be a lot more wind than the other spot. And, you know, she had this you know, in towering inferno, and it wasn't burning through her rope. And then, you know, Deshaun has this like little like finger of flame in it. Like suddenly the rope splits, you know,
and that's why
anything can go wrong.
Sure. Anything can go wrong. And so if you are sort of like the person who has the best shot to win I don't think it's a rule that you have to go make the fire. I don't think Ricard should have done it. I don't think that Tony, if he won the final four immunity last season, should have put himself into the fire making to beat Natalie or to beat Sarah. But I feel like that in for Xander, that, you know, coming into this, and again, I guess that the answer is Xander just had really bad reads throughout certainly the whole post merge, that so many of his takes were wrong. It's wild. He didn't even seem, Stephen, to consider putting himself into the final four fire making. It did not come up.
He did say that.
He said
he said maybe I can go knock out Erica. Yeah. And I do think that would have been certainly exciting. And, you know, if Erica is your biggest threat and you're not going to participate in fire making, and you think she's good at fire making, you know, maybe the move is to take her. I mean, I obviously we agree the best move would have been for him to go into fire making himself and knock someone out. But if he's, let's say he's not going to do that, then, I mean, we've talked in the past, you know, this is maybe old news. You know, maybe this is no longer a truism for the show, but that when you bring someone into the final tribal, it does, you know, it does minimize them. And it's never happened, right? It's no, obviously it's only been a couple of seasons, but it's never happened that the person who was brought won.
No, so I believe in season 39, I believe that Nora brought Tommy to the end. And Tommy,
oh, really? Okay.
And Tommy goes on to win. She put Lauren and Detective Dean into the fire making.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
Yeah. Okay. So that curse has been broken. But
I don't remember actually. Like I was saying, it never happened. It's never happened that the person who was brought to the fire making won.
Yeah, it just seems wild that Xander did not strongly consider that. You know, you would think that particular type of player, it's like, because he did take so many gambles throughout the season. He is the guy who sort of like, didn't play his idol so many times when he could have. He took the beware advantage. He risked his vote. So I think he did like do risky things throughout the season. It's almost like against type that he didn't attempt to make the fire.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think he also may have just had an inflated perception of his own, winning possibilities. You know, I do think he truly believed that Erica was not competitive against him in the finals. Like he said that a couple of times in ways that made me think that was very sincere, that he really truly believed that he had her beat. Mm-hmm. And everyone, right? We always talk about it. Everyone is the hero of their own story. You know, in Xander's mind, you know, he's this underdog. He's like,
he's your hero.
Not of my, no. Oh. Not really. Not the one I was rooting for the most, but
But when he got a flashback in this episode, I was like, oh, I think Xander's got it now.
No, too little, too late. They're not going to just like shorn in this emotional thing for the winner. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I know nothing about the edit, clearly. Yeah.
And we haven't talked too much about Deshaun yet, who ends up making it to the final three. I mean, that he ends up that fire making was wild. And I said this on Twitter where I'm no fan of the final four fire making, but we got such great TV out of the final four fire making three out of the last four seasons that it was, certainly the highlight of the finale of those in between, Chris putting himself into the challenge against Rick Devins. Then the Tony and Sarah fire making was incredible television. And then this one tonight, I mean, he went from that, Heather is dead, Deshaun's got this, to Deshaun is done, Heather is, I can't believe it, Heather's going to the final three, to then just like a complete collapse and this a miracle comeback for Deshaun.
Yeah, I was like writing a tweet about Heather in the final three. And then I was like, I mean, that was crazy. I'd never seen something like that before. I mean, it really did look like that was a question of seeding, that she was in a spot that was getting a lot more wind. Now, people on Twitter reminded me that Wendell chose to switch seats when he had Make Fire. Was that because of wind? What do you think the seat switch was?
I think from what Wendell said was that he didn't like orange. Orange was the unlucky color all season.
Maybe he started on purple.
He said that, but I don't think it's not this. They're right next to each other. I don't know if it's necessarily like a wind issue.
Well, one
like,
person is going to be getting more. I don't know.
Wendell wasn't like testing like the wind, like a kicker.
I don't know if you need to do maybe the wind test got edited out. Maybe.
We'll ask Wendell listens to the show. We'll see if after the party tonight, if he's able to weigh in on this, but it was just incredible. What I saw, and I saw some other people say this on Twitter, was that it seemed like that Heather's fire was not directly under the rope, her fire was like just missing the rope, where Deshaun had like the better centered fire.
That's interesting. So it wasn't a question of wind. It was just her positioning.
Yeah. Who do you think would win Final Four fire making, me versus you? How do you think that would go?
Oh, I definitely think I would win that. Rob, yeah. I think there's a lot of things you would beat me at, but I don't think it would.
Yeah. Full disclosure, I've never done it in my life. I've seen it on TV a lot. So I think I could do it, but no, I've never actually done it.
Yeah, Tyson taught me. I mean, there was a lot of footage of me being really bad at fire on Survivor because every time I would start to make one, like all the cameras would cluster around, and then I would get a lot of performance anxiety about it. I mean, maybe I would freak out and fuck it up.
Yeah, well you know the wind. You know to get the good seat with the wind.
now you know. Maybe I would collapse under the pressure, and you would wait because you're very good under pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what everybody says. Yeah, Stephen, what'd you think tonight about when Ricard talked about his, and of course, you know, Ricard, the fallen angel, you know, came up, just short. It's like, you know, he was almost like, it's so hard when you, everybody just like sort of says, yeah, you're the best player. It's going to be very hard for Ricard to, you know, make it without just going on like this, like Mike Holloway-esque immunity run at the end of the season. But, you know, Ricard was very proud of the game that he played. And, you know, why not? Jeff said about that. He said that, you know, some of the best players will never win the game.
Wow.
At all.
Did you think of him and Shan as sort of like you and Dina?
Well, no, I didn't.
You and really, Alex Bell?
I didn't really. I don't think it necessarily maps one to one on that.
You and Dan Liu.
Yeah. I thought that was incredible. Who do you think that Jeff was talking about? Do you think Suri?
Maybe Russell. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it was you, Rob.
I don't think he was thinking about me. I just thought it was interesting that he didn't say haven't won the game.
He
said will never win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be. I mean, you know, Suri probably is up there in his mind. You know, I thought it was interesting, you know, cause like those people are so raw, right? You know, Ricard has just lost the game, and we rarely see people forced to reflect right after they've lost, like right after they've been eliminated. I actually thought like what Xander and what Deshaun, I mean, Deshaun, you know, was so, it was really interesting. I mean, you know, you know, Deshaun was so raw about like, I clearly need to grow. I clearly need to change. Like you're all like, oh, you know, showing me my weaknesses. I mean, you know, you've literally like just lost Survivor. Yeah. And I thought Ricard too, it was like very interesting and very powerful to see, you know, you can like see him wrestling with this thing that has happened to him within just hours.
Yeah. I feel like that for Deshaun, I feel like that Deshaun knew he lost from like the morning after the Shan vote, from like that, you know, the final seven, that was like he went into the do or die, and he knew, and it was like a miracle that he came out of that. And then it was sort of a miracle that he came out of like a couple of these rounds. Like he could, like if Ricard had won immunity, he probably would have gone out at five. And then he survived the miracle. Like he thought he was going out at six. So basically like every single tribal council, like 7-6-5-4, like there was like a decent chance that Deshaun was going to go home. And I think that, you know, the jury wasn't really feeling him. He had some not so great answers to the question. So I think that for Deshaun, I think that coming to terms with losing was probably easier, because I think that he had a lot more time to cope with that, the fact that he was not going to win.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I still think like when you see it pulled, like the moment when it's like pulled away is still a little bit, you always hope, right? You always think and you hope. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there was a better way for either Xander or Deshaun to, you know, pitch themselves? Was Xander certainly just completely flubbed the question about what was your, you know, what was one example of social strategy? I was really shocked because I thought that he actually had a lot, you know, he had a lot of, I could come up with examples, you know, what about when he knew to use the fake idol with Liana, you know, what about that example right there? Like, you know, Liana's talking to you, like talk about how you knew to use the fake idol when she was going to use the knowledge as power advantage, you know, or, you know, and then one of the other people on the jury fed him the line about, you know, not knowing not to play his idol again. Like that would have been, was it Evie who fed him that? Someone fed him that. And I don't know. Did you think there was anything that Deshaun did that was particularly bad that he could have improved?
So I feel like that for Deshaun, I think that, you know, Shan and Liana were, you know, still upset with him over the way that Shan went out of the game. I don't know if he could have like sort of like opened with trying to, you know, clean that up. You know, if he could potentially, you know, win them back over in the final tribal council, if they could sort of like be like the, you know, the focus of his attention. I think that maybe there's a shot that he could potentially win them back over. If he got Danny, that's at least three. I'm not sure necessarily where he could find the other vote. Maybe Evie. He had a decent relationship with Evie, but it seems like that he was just like, you know, backpedaling and playing defense, much like Danny McRae and in his day job. And for Erica, it was just like, I think she was able to just like, you know, just put a lot of points on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. It did. It's interesting. And that like people had always conceived of her as a threat. She was a threat who got to the end and the other guys did themselves no favors. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it sure doesn't seem like if it had been Heather, if Heather had won that fire making, it also seemed like it still seems like it's going to be an Erica blowout. Xander got no votes. So even if Heather had peeled off some of Erica's votes, Erica still would have won.
Well, is it possible that, you know, Heather could have maybe split things up, but I guess that still there's no case for Xander. Maybe he gets the one Deshaun vote that from Danny.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steven, I really want to get your take on the festivities that followed the reveal, because, of course, they could not have the live finale because of COVID. They didn't want to chance it. So we did the live Survivor after show after the finale. And for me, I thought it was kind of a mixed bag. I thought that there were some things that were actually better and some things that were really awkward.
Yeah. I mean, what was exciting was about, I mean, just the newness for sure, right? There was something like fun about the newness and the looseness and the pizza and the champagne. Oh, now Jeff wants some pizza. And hey, you, anyone else want some pizza here? Okay. It was like,
yeah. I don't want to watch people eat on television. Okay. I don't want to watch people eat and do a podcast. Yeah. I guess, but they're not eating. They never had food in their mouth when they're talking. And so I like the people on the jury are eating pizza. Like, yeah, people that have been out of the game for, you know, the 5 days, 7 days. Like, how long did this last?
Still pizza.
Like, I just don't understand, like, what, like, I can understand the champagne a little bit more, although I did think it was a little, like, hey, refills, like, all right, what are we trying to get the contestants, like, how loose do we need them? These people haven't eaten in 26 days, but I felt like that you could have stopped down for 20 minutes and given them a snack before you started the reunion.
Yeah. Have a little party, then do it.
Not even a party. Have a snack. Okay, everybody. Yeah. All right, we're gonna take. Let's take five. Everybody have a slice. Have a slice. I know this bothers me more than it bothers anybody else, but it was so distracting. I wanted let these people talk. Like,
do you want to mandate like what snack they're getting? Are you like, what snack will they be allowed to have?
Yeah, I don't. I don't watch other shows where the people are like you know, having like a talk and then like having a snack in the middle of the conversation.
Really? A lot of reality shows of people eating on them.
I guess so. Sure. If this is a documentary and they happen to be eating and having a conversation, that's one thing. But this is like, you know, why don't they serve sandwiches during the Survivor reunion?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a good point. It's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I felt like it seemed like the, you know, the people in the jury, they're all like eating away. I feel like poor Erica hasn't gotten to eat the whole season, that she's like got to try to eat and then talk about her game at the same time.
She just had steak.
I guess so. Yeah. I guess so. So, but I will. So I'll complain about the, that, you know, watching people eat the pizza on the show. I will say that I thought that there were things that we got from the contestants in this format that I feel like we would not have gotten in the same way had we been in front of a studio audience, had it been, what, you know, 8 months later. Things like Danny talking about his dad. You know, it's some, so just some of like I think some of the stuff with Ricard, I think that some of the ways that players opened up in that intimate environment, I don't think we would have necessarily gotten, you know, had we done a traditional reunion.
I totally agree. I think, you know, when in the reunion, everyone, you know, you're prompted, you know, you're already prepped with your question. You've thought about your answer. You know, you have a brief time, you know, you have to keep it short. And I think that that makes it all feel very rehearsed. And also, you know, it's your, people are responding to the show, you know, they're responding to what people, you know, the backlash on Twitter, they're responding to, you know, the context of the Survivor reality show, you know, when they're giving their answers, they're thinking of their character, you know, and here it felt a little more like people, like you're saying, people being really human, which mm-hmm. I think is really the most moving parts of this show. You know, like you said, the Danny's response about his father, you know, was so earnest and human and unprompted. I mean, I think the weak parts of this for me are when Jeff really forces the contestants to have some sort of epiphany about their lives, you know, when he's like, wouldn't you say this is a huge growth moment for you? You know, and then they kind of recite something about, yes, this is a huge growth moment, you know, and it never feels really authentic. And I think that's sort of, you know, but Survivor at
what's,
its best.
Steven, what's the kid in you saying right now?
Exactly. Yeah.
What does the young Steven think about this?
Clicking over to Twitter to look at you know, what other people are saying, because the show is. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, see, sometimes he steps on, you know, he wants these big emotional payouts so much, and you know, it's often best when they're just authentic, you know, when they come organically.
You know, we did get more time with the contestants. I saw a lot of people saying like, hey, we're not going to talk to any people in the audience. We're not going to talk to any little children to make their predictions about what's going to happen. So I think that part of it was good. I think that we really distilled it down to, you know, back to talking to the contestants. It was way more focused on the game than any reunion that I can remember in, you know, recent memory. You know, for many years.
Yeah. Cochran had a very funny tweet about, like, you may not have seen him on TV, but he was there, like, waving awkwardly from, you know, just off screen.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he's been such a great feature of every reunion since he won.
Every reunion show. And I guess we'll have to go on Twitter to find out if Sia has awarded any money. Chat, please let us know if at this hour Sia has given out any money to people, or do we have to wait until the West Coast airing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. The thing I really liked about this was that sense of, this is still about the game. It hasn't been turned into a show yet. And just, you know, props to Jeff Probst, who obviously is at the top of his field, but the fact that he was able to, you know, speak about these things that happened without the show even being, you know, I mean, obviously he knows what happened out there. You know, he knows what the big moments were. He knows what the big things were. And he has a sense of how that's going to translate to a television show. But it wasn't yet a television show. You know, it wasn't yet fully edited. I'm sure they had a few episodes, you know. But the fact that he was able to talk about it in such a way that he actually queued up, you know, produced segments even before those segments were even, you know, produced is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I think they had probably a good sense of like what they wanted to hit. There probably was like, it'll be interesting to ask the contestants just like, how long did this go for? Like how many other things did they cover? So I think they probably did a good job of covering the things that were sort of like the big moments of the season. But I feel like that for me also, that so much of the reunion is, you know, talking about like, what's been the reaction? What's been the response to this? And I do feel like that the one area where I feel like that this was kind of lacking was, you know, there was so much in this season about the alliance between the Black players and what that meant to all of them, and the culture and the response to that. And I feel like, I mean, obviously they're in the constraints of this was, you know, 5 minutes after the season had ended, but I do feel like that the idea of the reunion is sort of like you know, having the players get to talk about like what it was like, you know, watching the season back.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a really great point. And I mean, I think that's you know, a real strength of this is the ability to talk about this format, is the ability to talk about, yeah, just keep it in the game. And the players are still very much in the game and they're not thinking about the show. I mean, what do, are you sending this one through to Samoa? Do you like this format?
I mean, I kind of feel like that. What's the alternative where, you know, had we been on Zoom and then I don't know if that would have been any better. So I like that they tried this. I feel like that they bring this back for Survivor 42 and it sounds they're going to bring back a lot of like keep the reunion, drop the pizza. Okay. especially Jeff is like, oh, I got to get in on this. Like, Jeff, you didn't eat dinner before this final tribal council. This is your 41st final tribal council. You didn't eat before. For this,
I mean, we're having pizza. I mean come on, like, it's when you pizza's right there, you're not gonna have a slice.
I mean, Steven, that Jeff says, like, oh, we make our own pizza here, Stu makes the pizza. I'm like, what? The guy who makes the pizza is Stu? Yeah, we had Stu, and the guy and the cook that makes the pizza is Stu. Yeah. What's going on here?
Yeah. Like what you said about pizza. That's Xander candy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Steven, let's take some questions from the listeners. Was there anything else that you wanted to add about the finale?
I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like, what were the other big plot points that happened?
I mean, there was the whole Erica found the advantage.
Yeah, that was kind of a dud segment because I didn't have, you know, you're like where the trees dance. Like I couldn't like, I just, you know, it's just a bunch of people walking around the island. Oh, mm-hmm. There's the advantage.
I think it was a payoff to, if you played the game within the game all season long,
that, right?
That the payoff was that you were able to unscramble the words and then you got, you had the clue 46 seconds before the people on the show figured it out.
But what's interesting, like we couldn't, you know, we have no idea where the trees dance. So we see these people running around the island. We're like, okay, like, mm-hmm. You know, one of them is going to stumble on it. It doesn't make any, you know, yeah. Erica found it. I don't know. That advantage was because it didn't necessarily seem like she had to really work for the advantage.
Yeah.
I felt like her, the head start she got in the challenge was like way too big. It seemed like she had a huge head start. You know, she won the challenge because of that head start, right? Ricard was right behind her, mm-hmm. in the actual puzzle. Like he was just a few pieces away. So I do think Erica won the challenge because of that head start. That's what ended up, you know, leading Ricard to go home, right? Because that's if he had won immunity, mm-hmm. he would have been there for the final four. Also would have had five immunity wins, right? Like that would have been his fifth. Oh, that would have been his fourth.
He won a reward challenge. He said he won four challenges.
Four challenges. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It seems like that Ricard had a piece on the floor. I suppose you see the survivors find that, but then also there can be times where that's sort of like,
I don't know. If you like, it's a puzzle. You see, you don't have a piece. Mm-hmm. It's not like one of these things where you don't know where the pieces are. Like it was pretty clear, you know, what the piece would be. It wasn't like a tangram. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't like the advantage. I didn't like the fact that there was like no skill involved in finding it or no even the effort really. And I didn't like, I didn't like the massive advantage it gave in the challenge. I thought it was too much.
Yeah, I have to go back and take a look at how close the challenge ended up being. I think that this segment worked better in season 39, where it was more of like an escape room of like, there were like multiple clues that you had to discover. And then Tommy was colorblind and couldn't see red and had to bring in Dean, and Dean found it. I think that there was a little bit more drama that came out of that version of this.
Yeah, I mean, when it's a little bit more effort and like more, you know, more people are really applying themselves, then I think it's cool for that them mm-hmm. to get a big advantage in the challenge. I mean, yeah, I mean, everything would have been different. Hey, Erica would have gone home at the merge or at the non-merge.
I mean, that's what everybody says, that, you know, had Erica not broken the hourglass, it probably would have been her, at least among those six. Like, I mean, had they not done that twist where, like, if all 12 people were up for elimination, would it have been Erica? I don't know. But of the six people that she was with, it sounds like Erica would have been the person to go home.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she changed history.
She changed history.
Yeah.
Saved herself from her own elimination.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Steven, let's take a question here tonight from Brandon Stewart. If Xander had joined Erica in final fire making and beaten her, would he still be a zero vote finalist? Have you sent Xander an email yet to welcome him to the club, Steven?
Yeah, we all get together. Mm-hmm. We have pizza night at the Sugar Shack.
Oh, pizza? Oh, let me get in on that. Can't go 25 minutes without pizza.
I don't know. It's interesting.
How are we making it through this podcast?
I think you would have gotten some votes, right? If he had done such a big move, I think you would have to get. I mean, but it's, you know, who's voting? I mean, it's so hard to say.
Okay.
No idea.
And
it's Heather, him, and Deshaun.
Okay, so it's Heather, him, and Deshaun. So does he get the Ricard vote? Does Ricard sort of like stump for him at that point of like, hey, okay, you knocked out the best players. I mean, does Ricard's probably not going to vote for Deshaun. I mean, does Ricard vote for Heather in that spot?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely getting, we assume he's getting some votes. It seemed that, you know, from all the exit press, right, what people were saying about Xander was that he didn't do much. But if he did that, like, that would be, you know, a thing that he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good question for Xander if he thinks that he could have gotten any of the votes. And I'm sure we'll talk more with some of the jurors. Steven, what does Philly Mike have to say?
Philly Mike wants to know, if they had shown us I don't need to be boss, just have a path.
Yes.
Could the edit have then shown us subtle moves of hers and presented them as a strategy?
Sometimes maybe we shorten these questions to fit them all on the card. Could they have shown more of the Erica subtle moves? It would be hard to show less of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what I think. And, you know, even if we'd seen a little bit of her articulating that strategy earlier in the game, you know, it's not like it would have been necessarily such an obvious one. Like, you know, they wouldn't have been making it too obvious. You had Shan in the game then. You know, Shan was like such an airtime hog. You know, I think if we'd seen a little bit of Erica.
Yeah.
Now, granted, Luvu never went to tribal council.
They never went to a tribal council.
But we still saw some stuff from their tribe. You know, we saw the Danny and Deshaun relationship. We saw
a lot of Nasir
and a lot of Nasir. I just think, like, give us one scene of like Erica and Heather, you know, like we never saw anything about Erica and Heather until like 2/3 of the way through the show. When I feel like we were saying like, wait a second, are Erica and Heather a thing? Like, did we know this? Like, where did this come from?
Well, one of the interesting things in hindsight of the season is that I think it's the fourth episode where Erica comes to Deshaun with a plan of, hey, I want to blindside Sydney. Deshaun goes back and tells Sydney, and then they decide that they're going to throw the challenge. And if not for Nasir coming in and winning that challenge,
that's a great moment.
Yeah. I mean, then they would have thrown that challenge and presumably voted out Erica in the pre-merge.
But do you think Erica went back in time and like helped Nasir win that challenge?
I'm starting to buy, like, when we all laugh, Erica is changing history. Well, look at us now. Misses.
A lot of near misses.
Look where we are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
Yeah, it's like an Edge of Tomorrow situation.
Shan got voted out. I did the feedback show with Shan and Gus, and we talked about how, like, well, it's going to be seven seasons in a row that a woman's not going to win the game.
Yeah. It sure looked like it at the time. And boy, were we all wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fascinating to think about of like, did they hide Erica? For whatever reason, did they not want to tell her story? You asked a lot of valid questions about like, why was she so minimized? Why not give us more Erica?
Yeah. And I don't think, I mean, like a lot of, the things I've seen, cause I was, vigorously arguing this point on Twitter, which is the place to vigorously argue things. People have said that, maybe there wasn't any content there. That's BS. There's always some content there. And like, for example, I mean, the most obvious thing being that question of why did they just not show us Heather and Erica as an alliance? Like, mm-hmm. We don't need a whole montage of Erica's under the radar strategy. We just need, one confessional of Erica saying what her under the radar strategy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One other thing. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure she had, fun stuff. I mean, that she, was like, I thought had so much personality in the Final Tribal Council.
Yeah. She was like really upbeat. I mean, Jeff, there was like a recurring thing where she would always say hi to Jeff. And like, there was that like banter, that seemed to be important to Jeff. I don't know. Like they could make a TV show of the contestants just picking their noses. There's a lot of content, they've got, I mean, I guess that's not an argument for there being a lot of content. it's late. It's really late.
All right, Steven, how about this question? This is one from Leah.
Leah wants to know, did you get pizza and champagne after your season's wrapped? If so, how was it? Well, Steven, you were in a very different era. You were in the clubby 70s of Survivor.
Yes, with Gene Rayburn. At the end of Toka Jeans, Final Tribal Council ends. Any pizza or champagne?
Nope. Lights go up. We're put in a car. Like, maybe we were handed like, actually, I think we were handed like a coffee or something.
A coffee
or some kind of like drink. I don't know. Some
soft
kind of
drink.
We're handed something. Or maybe like it was like a mocha or something. It was like some, and then we were like, put into a car and taken back to Ponderosa.
That sounds delicious.
Well, like I was like, pouring my heart out to the psychologist. And he's like, that sucks. Oh, too bad. I was like raw and wounded. This like bored psychologist was like, if I just 24 hours till I'm free of them.
Have you had the mocha? It's delicious. Yeah. Very good here. I mean, we were in Brazil. Yeah.
It was made by a guy named Stu.
Stu. Yeah. Stu.
What about you? What was it like for you after the end of Amazon?
There were refreshments back at Ponderosa after the Final Tribal Council, but there was, I don't believe that there was a party at the Final Tribal Council.
Yeah. Took some pictures. Was there like good refreshments?
I mean, it was like, unlimited alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So
Token Change was rough. There was very little going on because there was just like in the middle of nowhere. There was like no supplies. It was like, we came back to like breadsticks or something.
Ooh. Yeah. Like the Olive Garden. Yeah.
No, but they were stale. They were actually from the Olive Garden. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'd been flown over.
Okay. Steven, Catherine says Xander looks so defeated during the after show. A massive con of this reunion format is the inability for the losing finalists to process their loss, right, Steven?
Well, I think that's what's interesting as a viewer is like seeing them. It's like sort of heartbreaking and weird, but seeing them process it.
Well, a couple things. One, I thought it was really weird, and I guess this is like the Survivor nerd in me that I feel like that Erica was not sitting in the traditional Survivor winner seat. They left her in the same seat she had for the Tribal Council, which was the middle seat, but I feel like that she should have been in the traditional.
But she was like Survivor. The center. She was in the center of things.
I guess she was center square, you're saying?
Yeah,
second, that I think Xander was so bummed out because I don't think that he got to have champagne like everybody else. I think they gave him water in a champagne glass.
Is that true? That makes sense that they would.
I mean, I believe you have to be 21 years old to drink alcohol on Survivor, and I definitely saw that he had water in his champagne glass. So I think that's
very funny.
Boy, this is kind of a bummer. So maybe that took him out of it.
Yeah, Yeah, that's no fun. Mm. You lose and you're not even gonna, can't even drown your sorrows.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess Xander, I guess, probably was blindsided that he got no votes, that he seemed like very confident about, you know, his chances. And he had just such a bad read about the Deshaun. And we didn't think it was that big of a deal, but the truth bomb was like really tanked Deshaun and Xander's game.
Yeah, it's interesting. That was like a total misplay and on both of their on both their behalfs. It was, I mean, I don't know. It is really, he really did misread his position in relationship to Erica. And that's, you know, you deserve to lose. If like you, if you get, that's what the game comes down to, is knowing your, you know, how you're perceived and how others are perceived. And yeah, he totally missed that.
Especially one. When she was like making, like working on the fire, and it was doing so, it was so bad. And I was waiting for the confessional from her, like, haha, little does he know I'm faking that I'm bad at it. And then, it's a great question to ask Erica, was she trying to do it poorly? Because there is a scene earlier in the season where she's able to start the fire, but even back at camp. So I don't know. Was she playing possum? It doesn't seem like it because we never got the confessional.
And why would she want that? So that he would put her in fire making? Like, wouldn't she want to be?
If she was such a just a like sharpshooter when it came to making the fire, if she was such a ringer,
wouldn't she volunteer to go in fire making rather than, you know, ask to not go in fire? I mean, she seemed genuinely happy when, you know, when he told her that she was not going to go on fire making, yeah. I don't know. This seems like sort of after the fact, like this seems like a conspiracy theory or fan fiction.
Yeah. All right.
I don't know. I thought, you know, like I am disappointed for Erica that she got such a, you know, that she did not, we did not see more of her, but I thought like, you know, in this episode, especially we really saw her game. By the end, I was like, you know, I mean, you really played a very smart game. You know, she was in positions where she was not able to play a lot. You know, she Luvu winning all the time. There was nothing really for her to do. And then, you know, but the way that she sort of did move between alliances and was often the swing vote and was, you know, part of a lot of the big votes, and then did, you know, was instrumental in that sort of final foursome. Was impressive and certainly deserved the win. I mean, Michelle's the perfect person to talk to about her because, you know, it was all about timing for Michelle too. Michelle really peaked right at the end of her season. And I think that's true of Erica too. You know, she really kind of came to the fore and became the most dominant strategic presence in the last couple of votes.
All right. How about from Micro?
Micro wants to know, what was the path for a Xander win or a Deshaun win? It's a good, great question, Rob.
So, I was theorizing, you know, obviously we talk about this a lot on the podcast, and I felt like that I thought that the move for Xander, I mean, you talked about this in the beginning of the show, but I kind of wonder if this might have been where that everybody wants to vote out Ricard. He plays his idol for Ricard because he knows he's got a good, and hear me out here, okay? Because he knows back pocket what I need to do. I need to get Ricard to the final four, win immunity, bring Ricard into the final four fire making, and then I'll beat him in front of everybody. And I'll say, I slayed the dragon. I did it. Yeah. Not you. I'm not giving anybody else credit for this move. I'm going to take complete ownership over. I mean, it's really like, you know, very like, you know, emotionally scarring to Ricard to put him through this of like, oh, you're my best friend. You saved me. Wait, you stabbed me in the back. How could you do this? But I kind of feel like that at least people are like, boy, well, Xander, he's like a mad scientist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if he truly knew his position, I think that's what he would have had to have done.
Yeah. I don't think anybody was ever treating him like a serious person. I think that if we go and take a look, I think that with the exception of Liana, I think all of these players were older than Xander, and I think that they were like considerably older. I think that you know, that most of them are either in their late 20s into their 30s and
some of the end of life.
End of life.
Yeah. What was that? End of later years or whatever.
I mean, look at the people that were on the jury. I think that Deshaun was 26 and may, I'm not sure how old, Evie is. But like, I just think that they were all like grownups, and I don't mean to disparage Xander in any way here, but I just don't think they treated him like a like serious equal.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm sure that his youth had something to do with that. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think that's right. They all, you know, they saw him sort of as like a flighty kid.
So nobody really gave him like good intel, you know, at any point. Even like Ricard, he talked about like we had like a bond, but I bet like when and he talked about how Ricard had my back when he told me to play my idol. And it's like, well, we didn't really get Ricard's opinion on that. I don't think that was necessarily Ricard having Xander's back when he told him to play his idol.
Yeah. And, you know, Xander, as we talked about in the past, you know, thinking that Ricard is his shield, but in fact, you know, he wasn't really shielding him from anything. Like there was like no, you know, I think Xander's narrative of himself was mm-hmm. just way off compared to how the rest of the group saw him. Mm-hmm. But what about Deshaun? Like what could Deshaun have done? What was his path to the win?
I think his path to the win was probably not turning on Shan.
Yeah. But then he's with Shan and Shan is going to win.
Potentially, if he goes to the final four, you don't know who's going to necessarily win that final four challenge, but potentially, you know, there could be a scenario where Shan ends up like having to make fire, you know, against somebody. I'm not sure if that was necessarily her forte. So I think that it could have potentially, and he had,
interesting.
He had relationships with, you know, Erica and Heather and some better relationships with some of the Luvu people. So, you know, I think that probably would have been a better shot in that universe.
Do you think he beats Danny?
I think Danny seemed like a formidable person to be. I think he probably would have lost to Danny.
Yeah. And so in that case, he's out of luck. If he can't beat Shan and Andy can't beat Danny, then mm-hmm. then going to the final four yeah. with that foursome is.
That, yeah. You know, Steven, I had a comparison for Deshaun that I was thinking about this week, and I don't know if it's good or not, but in terms of as a player that I feel like that Deshaun is like a Jim Rice. What do you think of that?
Oh, that's interesting. Like strategic guy, but like big sort of like big,
a little overthinking it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. A little overthinking it. You know, can get a little hot headed.
Ready to make a big move. Oh, I'm going to blindside Ozzy. Yeah. I'm going to do so.
That's interesting. Like always like too right. That's interesting. Too ready to make a big move. That's fair. I like that. That's like an interesting comparison.
Okay. All right.
I don't think Jim was as emotionally vulnerable as mm-hmm. Deshaun was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't really affect his play style.
Okay. Diana wants to know, why does Jeff keep trying to convince us the pizza is good? I don't
know. This pizza looks better than other pizza. No, am I crazy?
Hold on. When did Stu start making the pizza? Is Stu new here?
Yeah. Is Stu new?
Mm-hmm. He's been new. Yeah.
I don't know. I bet the pizza that they bring out when Jeff is eating is different than the pizza that they give to the contestants.
Like, you hear that, Brett LaBelle? We got a new guy, Stu. Okay. All right. Steven, what does Sam L. have to say?
Sam L. wants to know, were you surprised Deshaun only ended up with one vote? What do you think swayed jurors, particularly his former alliance members, towards Erica? I actually thought that the tribal council was edited very well, where I really, at any given moment, was thinking that anyone could get a certain number of votes. You know, there were people who were arguing for Xander. There were people who were arguing, you know, helping out Deshaun. Nasir kind of like, you know, gave Xander a solid at one point. So I thought it was really well. It was a really fun pitched battle, and I think it was my favorite part of the episode. Where all three of them, you know, really did sort of express interesting in different games.
Going in, this seemed like that this was pretty wide open. I mean, this was the group that went on the Xander Candy Chicken and Vegetables reward last week that mm-hmm. talked about going to the final three together. So it was interesting that it played out in that way. And on paper, you certainly could have seen a way for all three of them to make a strong case. But it just seemed like the jury was not super having it with Deshaun or Xander.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it did seem like... So it's confirmed that Danny was the Deshaun vote?
Again, I have not independently confirmed this information, but overwhelming group from the live chat here have all said all said it was Danny. In terms of for Deshaun, you know, what could he have done? You know, I'm not exactly sure. It seems like that based on, you know, Danny's Ponderosa, that Shan and Liana really, you know, still had a lot of questions about, you know, that vote that went against Shan. It seemed like that they were not really feeling Deshaun going into that vote. In my exit interview with Tiffany, she did not speak super highly of her time on the beach with Deshaun, where she loved Danny, but she felt like that Deshaun was sort of, you know, she, I forget exactly what the words she used were, but did not really felt like that she meshed well with Deshaun. I mean, Evie was the one person that we saw have a really positive relationship with Deshaun, but it didn't seem like that Evie, you know, we don't know how conflicted they were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Steven, Matt Wilcott has a question.
Matt Wilcott wants to know, excluding Erica, over under 5, how many cast members from this season will return to play again? I assume many will be asked since it was a likable cast. I thought it was a great cast. It was full of potential.
Yeah,
it's honestly like at least 2/3 of the cast I could see coming back.
It's an incredible cast. And that's the problem where you're going to have like, and I mean, I presume that we're going to meet the 42 cast and fall in love with them. I think it's going to be very hard to cast an all-star season when and Jeff said that they're not going to bring back any players from before the 40s. Maybe that's why that you know, some of these great players will never win the game because they're not going to bring anybody else back.
I don't believe that. They're never going to bring back Christian. They're never going to bring back Devins. I don't believe they're never going to bring back Angelina. Mm-hmm. I would be shocked if we never. I would be willing. I don't know anything anymore. Mm-hmm. Who do you think? Let's talk about it. Yeah, that was all an interesting question. Who do you think are the people who are most likely to be brought back?
So I feel like that from the pre-merge that I think I would start with JD.
Yeah, JD is a huge character. Huge super character, fun.
And he's a young guy. And I feel like that it would be very fun to have him come back. And then when we get into the post-merge people, you know, Tiffany was such a personality. They love Nasir I feel like that I would put Nasir on that short list of people.
Nasir
that are going to come back. I feel like that Evie, I definitely could see another shot for Evie. Shan is a no doubter. Ricard is a no doubter.
Yeah.
And then I feel very strongly that they really liked having Xander on the show. I think that, you know, that I suspect that there are a lot of like young people who watch the show who, really took to Xander. So I think that he's another one. I mean, yeah, Erica as your winner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Deshaun, I thought we would certainly see him again. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they bring back Danny. I mean, Shan is a no-brainer. Like, Shan is like an all-time, you know, Survivor character. I mean, she is 100% going to be on a future season. Mm-hmm. So I would
it's a deep season.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of really great characters. I mean, I would be shocked if we didn't see, a bunch of them. Like, Shan, Ricard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Steven, anything else about Survivor 41 that you want to say while we have you here before we lose touch until Survivor 42?
I just, thinking, best of you in your new house with your, your wonderful background, your great lighting. Mm-hmm. It's like Rob After Dark kind of thing.
Literally now tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, Rob almost at sunrise.
Yeah, this is know-it-alls in the AM.
What about you? This is what's the final word for the season? I know that you're not going to podcast anymore about this after tonight.
No, we got a lot still to do on Thursday, so I'm very much looking forward to the exit interviews with the final five, and of course all of the stuff that's going to come out in all the exit press, not just mine, but everything that's going to come out at the end of the season. So I think it's going to be a fun couple of days. Big, don't forget, we have a wand off coming up also this week on Tuesday night. Josh Wigler and I are going to be getting into the season 41 wand off. So don't forget about that. Mm. Okay. Steven, let me tell you about what's coming up in the next couple of days. We're going to start things off with exit interviews. I will talk with the final five. Hopefully, they're not partying too much tonight, that everybody wakes up and is on the call to talk to me on tomorrow morning when we get into everything from Survivor 41. And then we are so blessed. Michelle Fitzgerald will talk with me on Thursday night to talk about this, you know, young, under the radar female winner of Survivor. Let's see what Michelle thinks about Erica. And then Liana Boris will join us on the feedback show. Get your questions in robswebsite.com/voicemail. Send them in. And the wand off is coming up. I mentioned it. Go ahead and send in your wand offs. Wand off at robhasawebsite.com to send in for the final wand off of season 41. You could talk about anything. Mini micro wand off, Stephen.
Wow.
Micro wand off. Could be 5 seconds.
No.
To 10 seconds.
Whoa, come on.
Drop the four. Keep the wand off. Yeah. So we should have a lot of fun. Holiday wand offs. You name it. Yeah. Send it in. Josh and I want to hear it on the final wand off of the season. And then, of course, Stephen, you know it's a big one at the end of the season when David and Jessica tell us why Erica won.
Wow. Wow.
She followed the rules.
All the rules.
She did it. Okay. And then, also it's also why everybody else lost.
Oh, so you get like a fourfer, a fifer.
Yes. You guys said, why did Deshaun and Xander lose? Well, find out. Okay. It should be a fun time on the B&B when the great Chappelle joins, Mike and Liana to play some games on the season finale of the B&B this weekend.
Mm.
And then on the Stock Watch, Asia Welch is going to be on with Taryn to talk about the final Stock Watch of season 41. See where everybody landed as Taryn goes live on Thursday with the Survivor Stock Watch. And then over on Survivor Global, your friend and mine. What'd you call this guy, Stephen?
Sister Ninas. What do you mean? Yes, Sister Ninas.
Nick Idanza is going to join Shannon Guts. Should be a very fun one to hear Shannon talk about. You know, Shannon had said in the preseason that, hey, this is how this is going to go. 26-day season, a athletic male is going to come in and win the season. That's going to be, and it turned out that it was the complete opposite, that the winner of the season was a woman that you would pick to win an Australian Survivor season.
Well, that's, I mean, Shannon is rarely wrong. So, you know, that's, you know, she gets one.
Yeah. So, it should be fun to hear her and Nick break it all down. Then on the Purple Pants podcast, Bryce and Wendell will break down everything that happened in this season. Fresh off of, the big Bryce and Wen present tonight, they will get together and talk about the finale coming up as well. So it's jam packed, wall to wall coverage, Stephen.
Wow. You really, it's impressive. A lot to talk about.
Yep. All right. What else we got? Oh, 90 Day Fiance. I'm back talking about 90 Day Fiance before the 90 Day with Puya Zam and Achilles. Check that out Mondays on Rob as a podcast. We talked about the premiere this week. Stephen, you wouldn't believe what these people are up to.
No.
No.
What people? Course, what are we talking about?
With 90 Day Fiance. Okay. Yeah, we had a lot of fun on Tuesday night. We did patron trivia with Jordan Kalish live. Just one of the many benefits you get when you become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, including hearing...
Is the trivia about the patrons, or is the trivia about the show? No, it was about the
finale.
Show.
All finale trivia live with Jordan Kalish.
Oh, that's fun.
You can watch... no spoilers. You can watch the replay when you become a patron. Of course, I'll be back with another patron 5 for 5 over the weekend and much more at robswebsite.com/patron.
Mm.
Okay. And this Saturday, Patron Mafia is back. Steven, you're a Mafia guy?
Oh, I love Mafia.
Yeah. Okay. We'll be playing Mafia with the patrons. I'll be back playing this Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll send out the link. Anybody that wants to watch live when we play Patron Mafia, of course, with Jordan Kalish and Puya Zambichili, always hosts our coverage of Patron Mafia. When the town goes to sleep, Stephen, we have Puya does play-by-play.
That's really so great.
Treat it like a real broadcast, okay? Monday night, I'll be doing a December orientation for the new patrons. Join me live, 8 p.m. Eastern for that. Every month, I like to get together with our brand new patrons, tell them how to access all their patron benefits, and of course, do a little Q&A with the patrons. That's going to be on Monday night for our new patron orientation, all right?
And sounds good.
All right, of course. Oh, check out. We got some, Stephen, last week we had some Survivor Know-It-Alls merch in our store. Mm. Check out this. We have some new stuff.
That's great.
We have I like what you said about RHAP. And then another shirt that says carrots and onions and hearty potatoes and warm broth. Stew actually made that shirt. Yeah, check that out. robinswebsite.com/merch. All right. And then, of course, hit that subscribe button to make sure you don't miss anything from our Robin's Podcast YouTube channel, or go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode of the podcast. Follow us on social media as well. All right, Stephen, you did it. You made it through another season of the Know-It-Alls.
Woo!
You did it.
We did it together, Rob. You did it. You carried, you know, you carried me.
No, you were there. We were there.
I was there.
Yeah.
There was, on your back.
Yes. Yeah. It was one set of
literally
footprints.
Podcasting with his co-podcast on his back.
Stephen, we are going into the holidays and we're going into the new year where it will be 2022. Can you believe it?
Wow. No.
And you know, that's a special year for us.
Oh my God.
Because 2022.
Is that the anniversary? Well, is it
the fall of 2022 will be 10 years of the Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Wow. That's wild. What are we going to do? We have a big blowout party.
I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll Skype in if you do it.
All right. That's out to the fall. I'm just saying the year is coming, but the anniversary is in the fall. So be on the lookout for that. Stephen, any New Year's resolutions coming up?
Just to be a great friend to you.
You already are. You already are. All right.
That's because I resolve every year.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right.
Gotta keep it fresh.
And Stephen, so much. Stephen, also happy birthday to you.
Now
and when I talk to you again.
I hope you're starting to compose your birthday ode because, as you know, I've been very unhappy that, you know, Rob writes these odes for Bryce, these like birthday posts for Bryce. This is the greatest person I've ever podcasted with, my one true friend, the one person who's ever understood me.
Yes.
And I don't even get
you made two video messages for me this year. So it's the least I can do. All right, Stephen, great job. Any final thoughts?
No, it was super fun. This is always like, I basically watch Survivor so that I get to podcast about it with you.
We are all the richer for it. Thank you so much, Stephen Fishback. Any paraphrase podcast coming up?
Not in the near future.
Right now. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you all so much for watching us. Thanks for another season of support of Survivor Know-It-Alls. I'll be back on Thursday with exit interviews and Michelle Fitzgerald. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
I'm going to bed.
Go to bed. Good night. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.